Give the Sock lives. If you don't know what the show's called after that little musical sting, probably you're too stupid to listen to what's coming up. Anthony Howell is here with me. Hello, Anthony.
Hey.
What the hell was that?
What's up, man?
What? Okay, first
of all, I was trying different stuff.
First of all, why did you come in sounding like J.J. Walker from Good Times in the 70s? And secondly,
hey.
No, that's Fat Albert. Secondly, why was there such a long pause?
Well, comedic effect.
Comedic effects are funny.
I had to think about it. I had to think about how I wanted to do my introduction.
Can you do that thinking before the introduction next time?
Sure. Sorry, man.
Yeah, I mean, that pause was, I thought that your mic was broken.
Well, it's funny because when I listened to Howard Stern, sometimes if he's jabbering on and jabbering on and jabbering on about God knows what, this week it was ants. He's got ants in his bathroom. He stops. And then you kind of think, did the stream stop? So he takes these long pauses to just sort of reset the audience, I feel. So okay. I'm just trying to, you know, take from
you're
the take from
you're
the
not Howard Stern.
Oh, God knows that. God knows that. I would never claim to be. But
so
all I'm saying is the effect.
Don't start using his material. Don't start using his shtick, his style.
It's more of a technique than a shtick, I think. But
at this point, I'm sorry your mic is working. All right. So we're back again for another week here on Ed the Sock Lives. The Indiegogo is going on now for New Music Nation. For those who missed last week, New Music Nation is an initiative of mine. That is a online video music channel to with the spirit of classic Much Music. You know, when it was really good, when everybody was watching Much Music, when everybody had it on in the background and everybody felt like it was their TV station, that kind of Much Music feeling. We got new VJs, going to be using a lot of social media interactivity. And as well, instead of focusing on big albums, like big stars who have a lot of marketing money behind them, we're going to be focusing on independent music, new artists, unsigned artists, people with talent who've made a music video that's good and who deserve to have greater exposure than they're getting on their own website. So that's what New Music Nation is. I'm one of the VJs, of course, and we're raising money for phase one of New Music Nation. Phase one is where we ask you to contribute money through our Indiegogo, and that'll allow us to produce content which we can then take to advertisers and show them and say, this is what you'd be sponsoring. Because advertisers have no imagination, none whatsoever. And if you don't give them something to look at, they have no idea what you're talking about. Blank stares. And you don't want blank stares from advertisers. So that's what we're doing. We hope to be advertiser supported. We will be advertiser supported. But to get there, we need you guys to give us a little kickstart. And so we're going with Indiegogo. It's... You can
an
go
interesting
to new
choice of words.
Yeah, I know. All right. Turn your mic off. Go to newmusicnation.ca. When you're there, you can look at videos of the new VJs. And you click on the Indiegogo logo. It rhymes. And you want to, were you going to tell me it rhymes, Anthony? I was waiting for you to give me some pointers there.
I was just shot off the bow and I missed that one. But
yeah.
I was thinking.
Quiet now. So you go there, you click on Indiegogo, it'll take you to the Indiegogo, and there's lots of rewards there for sponsoring. There's the limited edition comic books that we had made a number of years ago, full color Ed the Sock comic books, 3 issues, vintage Ed the Sock postcards from Much Music. They have the Much Music logo on them. They're me in my leather jacket. These were made by Much Music, and then they gave me a bunch to hand out, and I guess I put them somewhere. And I found them still wrapped in shrink wrapped in plastic. So we've got some of those to give away for donations. You can co-host this podcast with me and Anthony, or it'll be a separate podcast. It's still not determined, but you can co-host a podcast definitely with me, possibly with Anthony. There's no draw for Anthony though.
There's blood in the water.
And you can be in a Zoom call with me, which will be minimum 10 minutes. You can ask me anything you want. We'll talk about whatever. Then I'll send you the recording. You can keep it forever. There's a video greeting card where I will record a greeting for either you or somebody you'd like the greeting sent to. I work with you on that to get the commentary right. There's a Fromage Your Life bio where we, again, it's either for you or for somebody you buy it for. You supply the information and the photographs, and I supply the snark and make a fromage style biography of somebody's life and send it to you. There's all kinds of stuff.
So that cousin they don't like, they're going to get fromage.
Yeah, something like that. I won't violate restraining orders, and I won't break up with people. Do that yourself. I'm not a text.
Ground rules here.
Yeah, there's certain things I will not do, and those are them. Also, there's VJ for a Day, which has proven very popular. You'll get to VJ a series of music videos for one show, and there's like 16 people have paid for that now. So I gotta get a lot. That's the thing. I need a lot of content. So if you're a band out there and you got a music video and you would like to get that music video carried on New Music Nation, then send it to submissions@newmusicnation.ca. Submissions@newmusicnation.ca.
Submissions@newmusicnation.ca.
Don't interrupt, because I learned from satellite radio. You have to repeat the thing three times, and then it embeds three times in a row.
So it's new, what is it?
Newmusicnation.ca. Submissions@newmusicnation.ca.
Submissions@newmusicnation.ca.
Thank you for that dramatic reading.
Now, are we going to scrutinize quality here? Or if there's a band that, say, doesn't have a produced music video, but they want to do a live performance in their basement or in their jam space, and the sound is good, and we can parse out the lyrics and the vocal, as you said, would that be considered good enough for consideration? Or does it have to be like a shiny indie music video?
No, I think that we may have a show called The Garage, which will be videos like you described. Which are people just shooting themselves performing in their basement or whatever. Because I want to have a platform available for people who don't have the resources to go out there and make a nice video. So the garage will probably be the video, the platform where people can send in videos of just them performing. So cheaper videos, you know, with less production value, as long as the audio value is there.
Right. If it sounds good, we can understand it and it's good. I mean, there has to be some sort of a baseline. It can't just be you with a tin, you know, with a pot on your head banging. It's got to be, you know.
What the hell did you get thing about a pot on my head?
If it passes the foot tapper test.
What is, so
well, do you know, like, maybe from this episode. If it makes you, maybe there's a foot tap test. There has to be some kind of hurdle because then
I got to tell you. That 98% of everything is crap.
Right.
I found that in life, but I have found the submissions that I've got so far, it's reversed. 98% of it is good. 2% of it is crap. I guess maybe it's because people sending it have got their act together.
Certainly.
They're out confident. There. And I'm really surprised. Used to be, I was like, oh no, I have to watch one of these videos. And now I look forward to like, what am I going to get this time? When they submit a video, I'm like, okay, I want to watch it right away because I'm really surprised at the breadth of quality out there.
So would you say overwhelmingly nowadays people are making sort of like art house, fartsy type things where the music just plays in the background, or is it a lot of performance?
There's a lot of performance, but there's also dramatization of the lyrics, but it's not artsy.
Okay, so it's not like somebody...
Go on.
There's not like, there's like blood in a staircase or like, oh, what's that supposed to mean? It's not like a Radiohead video.
I don't want pretentious crap. Though I did get an opera video shot like a normal music video with a story and everything set in modern day. And I was kind of blown away by it because the audio quality was good and the video was compelling and it's opera. That was pretty amazing. Yeah. I love seeing variety.
Throwback.
Like I love seeing variety like that.
Variety
anyway,
is great. But just don't have your head up your arse or be pretentious.
Don't be pretentious. Because I might use the video, but call it out as being pretentious. All right.
Whatever. Grist for the mill.
Yeah, I thought you said Christopher Mill for a second. I was like, who the hell's that? The guy that wrote the Winnie the Pooh books? That was A.A. Milne or E.E. Milne. A.A. Milne? I don't know, somebody. All right, so we're going to talk about the new Ontario state of emergency stay-at-home order.
Yay.
Which surprisingly is a lot like the previous state of emergency stay-at-home orders. At this point, Ford has screwed the pooch so bad that I don't think people are even taking him seriously anymore. Like, he doesn't carry any authority with him anymore because he's screwed up so badly to this point. He's indecisive. He's he allows certain things to stay open while others have to close. And they're suspiciously like people who donate to his campaign that get to stay open. There's just no credibility left anymore, especially when you look at that guy's hair. He's got a mullet. Have you seen his mullet?
You read my mind. I'm looking at this photo of him on the CTV News website, and God darn it, does he ever look like a fat Psycho Sid? You remember Psycho Sid from the WWF before it became the WWE? He looks like a big fat Psycho Sid. Or the kind of guy that if he wasn't premier, he would kind of be pushing a broom around at, say, like a small town hockey rink, kind of scaring the kids and asking for more.
No, he'd be one of those parents. Actually, he'd be one of the guys in the stand yelling at the kids to play better, but he has no kid in the game. Yes.
Yeah.
He just shows up to yell at the kids to play better.
He's an aggressive hockey dad with no kids.
That would be the guy that he is. And he's got his mullet would make a roadie proud. And his hair, by the
totally.
Way.
And so, you know what? I think, what about it?
What was that? I stopped to let you talk and then you stopped.
Oh, I thought you were, oh.
All right, shut up for a minute. The thing about his hair is, it looks to me like his hair is made of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, it kind of
does. Doesn't it look like that?
It sort of looks like mashed
like mashed potatoes with the cream and stuff, the milk in it and stuff.
Oh, because it's a little bit white, a little bit gold, a little bit.
Well, it's just the consistency cheesy. Of it. The texture of it looks like he's got mashed potatoes on his head.
Doesn't well, it's it look like he start like in the morning, like he's just he's got a it does. It's, he's got a big he's just got a big like fondue thing beside his sink with like cheese in it, and that's what he uses to kind of slick it back at in the morning.
His styling gel is mashed potatoes.
His styling gel is mashed potatoes. I gotta go with nacho cheese, the kind you get from the nachos at say like a small town hockey arena. You know that sort of is it cheese kind of cheese where it's just sort of orangey yellow and
it ain't cheese. It's plastic with cheese flavoring.
It ain't cheese.
And he's you wonder a premier, if the longer he's a premier that has leadership flavoring, which isn't actually legitimate leadership. It's absurd. We're going into a third wave. People were warned about this, and he waited and waited and waited. He lets malls stay open. What is essential at Yorkdale Mall? That's the thing about Yorkdale Mall is it can boast that it's a mall with not a single essential store in it. The only thing they have is essential oils in some of those hoity-toity scented soap places.
Like Sephora or whatever, where the people go.
Yeah, so here's in case you don't understand what it means. This courtesy CTV News. In addition to the closure of most businesses, the stay-at-home order makes it illegal to leave a place of residence except for essential reasons such as work, school, trips to a grocery store or pharmacy, and healthcare reasons.
Uh-huh.
And who's going to enforce this?
Who are they? Who's enforcing this?
Are they going to pull people over and ask them where they're going? Like, this is a toothless edict.
It's toothless being the operative word there. Holy.
Yeah.
You know, I just hope that the longer and uglier his hair gets, maybe he'll let me reopen our hair salon, because it seems like we're being unfairly targeted. Because literally, Roncesvalles, every business is open except for ours, and the street's busy. And nope, got to stay at home now.
Yeah, there's, you know, the thing is personal care businesses, like a mall has hundreds or thousands of people in it.
Yes.
A salon, a hair salon like yours, medium-sized hair salon.
I'd say small. Like we at most would have like 6 to 10, like at most, like 5 to 10 people in it wearing masks.
Wearing masks.
Not all time.
You take these places like yours and retail stores have taken it very seriously because they didn't want to get shut down. They took the measures seriously. They took measures, preventative measures, as recommended. Yeah. We're not seeing, for example, any data that suggests that the COVID outbreaks are coming from personal care businesses.
There's clinics out there, and I'm serious, that are still doing Botox injections, which requires you to take your mask off. Can you imagine? Botox. Giada was able to go, she's been this entire time able to go to her masseuse and get a massage every month or so. Why not? Like, how is that any different than a salon? Why can't we be open? It doesn't make any sense. It's almost like we're being unfairly targeted. Like, I don't get it.
Well, you're not being targeted. They simply don't care about you.
They don't care about us. I mean, on the bright side, we did get, I mean, okay, devil's advocate, maybe this makes me sound like a hypocrite, but we're all hypocrites in some way or another.
Shut up and get on with it.
So we got our grant. Like, we applied for the grant, and the provincial grant, and we got the maximum amount. And then I got an email today saying that there's going to be, they just doubled it. So it's like, cool, you're giving us whatever amount of money that will keep us afloat, I guess, keep us solvent, and we'll be able to weather through a little bit longer. But how about you just let us reopen, and that amount of money, which was not insignificant. I mean, it could pay a salary, maybe a salary of a person who would go around making sure that the salons are allowed to reopen are following the rules. Why not that? Why? Yeah.
I think everybody has, you don't have to be an anti-masker or a COVID denier to look at what's going on in Ontario with the lockdown, the opening, the partial closing, the gray zone, the orange zone, the tutti frutti zone. You don't have to be an anti-masker or COVID denier to look at it and say, this is a lot of BS at this point. There's no clarity. And people need clarity.
Because they don't
want
know what
people to sacrifice. You need to give them clear reasons why.
Yeah, a light at the end of the tunnel, but this light continues to get obscured by nonsense because the people in charge are just taking stabs in the dark and seeing what works. And they're playing roulette with a lot of people's lives. And it's really stupid. So they should
strangely
stop.
Enough, Ford is still riding high in polls. I think that's just because Andrea Horvath is a terrible NDP leader. She just has no presence. And so the news doesn't cover her. And Stephen Del Duca, the Liberal leader, is a who? You know, he's being the third party. They get even less press. So there's no opportunity for him to show who he is and what he's about. So Ford's winning by default. There's a lot of people who want to believe that the people in power are doing a good job.
They have.
They're afraid to consider what the truth is if they're not doing a good job. So they would rather choose to believe that the guy's doing a good job, even though they know he's not, because they want to believe that he is. They don't want to believe that this thing's out of control.
Well, of course not. I'm sorry, but like, if I switched out majors at university, and I'm 36 now, so some of those people that I went to Queens with who took poli-sci as a major have to be occupying some places in the government by this time. And I always thought these are some of the dumbest brown-nosery, self-interested people that are trying to make politics a career. They're not interested. Like, who gets into, like, it's just crazy to me the people that get into this because they can't do anything else. So it's like really just about maintaining power. Nobody really knows what they're doing and there's no accountability and they're only trying to cover their own arses. And I don't know. I just have very little faith in the process itself, the system itself. They don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know what? I have known politicians personally and found the ones I knew by and large to be actually dedicated to public service. They actually cared about doing well for their constituents and they work like dogs. They work all day at Queen's Park or in their constituency offices. And then they go after hours and they have to go to rubber chicken dinners and make visits to old folks' homes and go to community meetings. They rarely ever see their family. And they don't do it for the money because it's not a very high salary. These people could be earning much more if they were in the private sector. So a lot of politicians are good. The problem is a lot of the leaders aren't. And so you
it
get
casts
people
a shadow on the
yeah,
rest
you
of
get
them.
You get a good bench of bad. People, but they have to toe the line of an idiot like Doug Ford, who, I mean, here's a guy who ran a sticker business who couldn't create a sticker that would stick on gas pumps. I mean, that in itself sums up the level of ineptitude of this person. Stickers that don't stick, and you run a sticker company. How dumb is that?
A sticker company itself is like, why would you get, whose like bright idea is it to get into a sticker?
Well, they make a lot of money.
Adhesives?
They make a lot of money with stickers. There's a lot of people's products need stickers. Every product you look at probably got a sticker somewhere. It's a good business.
That's a good point.
They made a lot of money. If you look around, you'll see a lot of stickers on products and stuff. So sticker business is a good business. I wish I should have gone into the sticker business. This media business is nonsense. I mean, if I could have foreseen the collapse of the traditional media ecosystem, I would have gone into something else. The hell with all this. Right now, it's the cursed earth.
Could have had a taco cart.
I could have had a taco cart. Maybe I still can.
There's a guy I went to high school with, ended up in BC, decided to open up a taco truck. And he was like, I think he was making 130, 40 grand a year doing that. Like just driving around where he knew people were getting super stoned by the beaches and setting up shop with his taco cart. All he had to do was buy the truck and the food. I mean, it's genius.
Anyways. I'm thinking about doing that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing that. I'm thinking about now that we talk about it, that's my next act in my life is podcast, owning a food truck.
Podcast over.
Well, I can still do the podcast while I'm doing the food.
We do it from the truck. Yeah.
Yeah. From the truck.
I could take orders and people. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I'm just assuming that I'm involved in this.
I didn't hire you.
Well, can I apply?
I'll have you fill out a form.
Right.
All right. And the thing I wanted to talk about that really pisses me off, Anthony.
What?
We're going to get to first impressions sometime in this show. It's a new segment we're doing.
Cool.
First impressions. Anthony exciting. Came up with it.
It was collaborative. We worked together. I can't take all the credit. Or can
I? You're just afraid it's going to tank and you don't want to take all the blame.
If it's bad, you get half of the blame. All right? All if right. it's good, it's all me, baby.
Well, put it this way. It's either that or another segment of puns.
Ooh. You know what? That's not a high bar. That's not a high bar.
And the thing I wanted to talk about that really pisses me off, Anthony.
What?
We're going to get to first impressions.
Okay.
Sometime in this show. It's a new segment we're doing.
Cool.
First impressions. Anthony exciting. Came up with it.
It was collaborative. We worked together. I can't take all the credit. Or can
I? You're just afraid it's going to tank and you don't want to take all the blame.
If it's bad, you get half of the blame. All right? All if right. it's good, it's all me, baby.
Well, put it this way. It's either that or another segment of puns.
Ooh. You know what? That's not a high bar. That's not a high bar.
All right. Anthony made a little musical sting when I'm pissed off about something.
So this is called a sting. It's not a bumper. What's the difference between a sting and a bumper just for the audience?
My understanding is a sting is something that occurs while the program is in process. A bumper is something that happens at the beginning, like prior to, or just coming back from a break prior to resuming the program or after you throw to a break, prior to the commercials.
Entertaining and educational. That's what you get here on Ed the Sock Lives.
Yes. All right. So let's play. Here, this is Anthony's little sting. Let's play it.
Why Ed's pissed.
All right. So I am pissed off about, here's the thing that drives me crazy. People who talk about their truth. You know, everyone has their own truth. No, you don't. I hate that. This is my, I'm speaking my truth. That's not your truth. It's your experience.
Exactly.
You know, you're telling me your experience. You're telling me your perspective. You're not telling me your truth. Truth is not something that is completely subjective. This whole this airy-fairy left-wing nonsense about people telling us their truths. Don't tell me you're telling me your truth, okay? That's like alternative facts. There is only one truth. Truth is fact. There's truth that's fact. And then there's truth that is sort of wisdom. All right. There are certain truths about life, but those are common. The reason they're called truths is that they're common. Everybody shares them. They're experiences or feelings that people share and have experienced. This whole nonsense about people having their own personal truth. I want to vomit every time I hear somebody say they're going to speak their truth. It's like, really? Do you not understand the difference between experience and truth? And what does this even mean, speak your truth? Like, if it's not just talking about your experience, What is it? What is your truth? What does it mean to have a personal truth? Nothing. It means nothing. It's nonsense. You're telling me your experience and your perspective, not your truth. So stop calling it your truth. I'm sick and tired of this progressive language. All right. That's good.
That was nice.
Thank you very much.
That was good.
All right. Thank you. I need that shot in the arm. All right. we're going to play First Impressions. And First Impressions, what's going to happen is Anthony's going to do an impression of somebody famous. And I have to guess who he's doing the impression of. And you can play along as well at home. Okay, Anthony, you need to make a music sting for First Impressions for next time we play it.
Okay. I want to do sort of something like a da-da-da-da-da-da, First Impressions. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like that, but
like something piano, like almost like that, but better. This is the first time I try this.
All right.
Okay. So for First Impressions, I'm going to come up with an impression of maybe a popular actor or character in a movie, and Ed's got to guess what it is.
By the way, Anthony's bandwidth is a little bit low, and so if you hear pauses that when Anthony's talking and then he resumes talking, it's not his fault in this case. It's their bandwidth is very in high demand today.
Okay, so give me a number here. Are we going to do 1, 2, 3? How many should I come
Let's
up with?
Let's do 4.
Here? 4. Okay. All right. So
I
this
may
is the first
stop one. You at 2. But I'm going to
softball. I got to softball these in because, you know, we got to get started. I'm going to give you some easy ones.
All right, everyone knows the concept already. Let's just go on. Let's not make
Here's
it.
An easy one. Okay. All right. You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding asking for a favor. Yeah, you don't even come around any other time of the year.
All right, that's Marlon Brando and The Godfather.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
I hope
well
you're going to
do
ones that aren't completely obvious.
Well, like I said, I got a softball in the first ones, and then we'll go from there.
All right, okay. Next.
All right, give me a second here. I got to think of something. Oh, here's one.
Think
this one might.
You didn't have anything prepared?
This one might not be as easy to understand, but you might get it. You might get it. Okay. Tell me something, girl.
Is that Chad Kroeger from Nickelback?
No. I'll try it again.
Is it hard being so hardcore?
I have no idea who that's supposed to be.
Well, all right. Well, that wasn't very good then, I guess. I thought it was pretty good. It's Bradley Cooper from that movie that he did with Lady Gaga where he's like a singer-songwriter.
Star is Born?
Star is Born. Tell me something, girl.
I don't know how many people saw that movie. I didn't.
It was a pretty big one. Giada couldn't stop playing that song over and over again. So, yeah, there's that one.
Well, she would have got that then, but I didn't. And Bradley Cooper doesn't have such a distinct voice or a vocal characterization that he's easy to guess.
Well,
all right.
I thought maybe the lyrics would give it away.
I didn't see that movie. I saw the original Star is... Well, not the original. I saw the first remake of Star is Born with Barbara Streisand and Chris Christopherson. Yeah. That's enough.
Okay.
In a lifetime.
Okay, here's another one. This one, I think you're going to get it. I think you're going to get it. Get your damn hands off of her, Biff.
Oh, for a second there, I thought we were going with Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes.
But you didn't say
you damn dirty ape. Throwing in Biff makes it obvious that is Michael J. Fox's character in Back to the Future.
No, close. Get
you. Oh, no, it's her father.
It's
Sorry,
his
it's,
dad,
it's
yeah.
Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover, yeah, that's right. You got it. All right,
Crispin Glover.
You're 2 for 3 at the moment.
Yeah, and here comes 4.
Okay, here comes 4. Here comes 4. Here it comes. What are we going to do here?
That was you. That was you.
That was
that was number 4. I got 4.
I got to prepare for this segment next time. Okay, here it comes.
What a thought.
Okay. Who's a good one? Who's a good one?
You did that one already.
Okay, sorry. I'm going to do...
Pee-wee Herman?
Yeah.
Sounds like you ruptured something.
3 out of 4. I almost did. A vein was about to. You should see the wall in here. It's kind of. Yeah. No. That was a herniate. That was a herniation.
Yeah. I think you herniated a disc.
Okay. So I got it. So that's not bad. Off the top of my head, that's 4. That's pretty good. It's pretty wide. So you got 3 out of 4.
I got 3 out of 4. They were pretty obvious, except for the one that was not obvious at all.
Well, there you go. I mean, I'm just going to have to up my game for next time. Because is the point that am I supposed to be good at them so they're easy? Or am I supposed to be bad at them so you have a hard time? Am I supposed to stump you? Is that the whole point?
You're supposed to do the best impression you can do.
Accurate, but obscure.
Yeah, but it can't be somebody who wouldn't necessarily be recognized by the general public.
All right. Well, we'll try again some other time. How's that sound?
All right. Oh, you know what? Give me one more.
Okay. Give you one more.
I could do without the fumfring.
You got to throw one at me because I'm drawing a blank here.
What is the use of me giving you an impression to do for me to guess what the impression is? This is a very simple concept, this game, and okay. You've already lost the plot.
Okay, I got one.
All right.
Okay, I got to back up a little bit. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Wilson! Is that the Tom Hanks in Castaway?
Yeah, you got it. All right. Well done. That was good.
I didn't even see Castaway, but I knew the whole thing with Wilson.
All right. Well, there you go. See, not too bad. You hadn't seen the movie, but you still got the impression. So I say that was better than my Bradley Cooper.
Is this a testament to your skill as an impressionist or my skill as somebody who can read impressions?
Your pop culture knowledge. I think it's a little bit of both.
Oh, we both win. Isn't that lovely? You're a millennial. Yeah. You like that. Participation ribbons.
I want a trophy for showing up.
All right. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, Anthony has scoured the newswire to bring us some stories from far and wide that are odd. And he's going to present them to us, and we will discuss them.
Headlines from around the internet that caught my attention.
Thank you for reiterating something I already said succinctly.
I thought I was adding to it.
No, you're just an echo. So, Anthony... let's move away from that wonderful game show that you came up with. We should put some stakes for it for the future, for first impressions.
Okay.
Lay a little ante down.
Maybe if we have a guest at some point, we can play it with the guest.
Yeah, that's what I want to do to them. So we never get another guest. All right. So, Anthony, you have been searching around the internet for interesting stories. The interesting, the bizarre, the obtuse.
I didn't search too far because they all came from the same place, but that's fine.
All right, Anthony, you were a lazy ass guy who just went to one website.
Wind out of your sails a bit there. Sorry.
And I was trying to give you more credit than you deserved, but points for honesty. Let's hear the stories, Anthony.
Okay, so we'll call this headlines. Headlines from around the internet. All right, number one, a woman who didn't know she was pregnant gives birth on toilet. So a woman says she didn't know she was pregnant until she gave birth on a toilet.
These always freak me out. I mean, these usually end in tragically. End with the woman doing away with the baby. Yeah. It's very usually very sad the way these things end. This one apparently didn't end sadly.
No.
Do you not? I mean, I've never been pregnant. But
she doesn't seem like one of these unfortunate people that's like so obese that maybe it would hide a baby bump. But she just seems to be a normal, healthy woman.
And I mean, she's on the toilet and a baby's coming out. She's got to be wondering what it is she ate. Because
so
quote, that is the largest bowel movement anybody would ever make. 7 pounds.
The only relief I would get was sitting on the toilet, she said. So I was in the bathroom and I couldn't sit still. I was screaming. I was trying not to be loud. Like, I didn't know what this was. I look in the toilet and I still don't know what it was. And I thought I basically lost an organ because I didn't know. We were just kind of in shock and not expecting it. And all of a sudden, there's a baby in the toilet. That's a direct quote.
Okay. What do you call a baby born in a toilet? Like what nickname or what name are they going to name it after the manufacturer of the toilet?
A commodler? I don't know.
Call it maybe splash?
Plop.
Plop. That's a nice story to be told forever. My mom had me in a toilet.
Yeah. She named me Plop. She wasn't very creative.
The baby's name is going to be Deuce.
Yeah. Yeah. Deuce Jenkins.
That's an awful story, quite frankly.
That is an awful story. Awful
story.
The photo of them, the photo of the couple with these sort of bewildered smiles on their faces comes from, I guess, a trip to the pumpkin patch. And so they're standing in front of just this mountain of pumpkins. And in the background, they didn't even bother posing for the photo in the right spot, because right in the background it says, "Please do not climb on Pumpkin Mountain." And I feel like these people maybe fell off of Pumpkin Mountain, because
is this a function of somebody's intelligence? I mean, is this woman of average intelligence, or is there some kind of delay there?
Surgkov said she has absolutely no clue that she was expecting and that her entire 9-month pregnancy had gone unnoticed. She said she had an irregular cycle, and although she did gain weight, she attributed it to a change in medication. She told the news outlet, quote, "We thought it was medication because I had just changed to a new multiple sclerosis medication." Oh, that's sad. And that was one of the symptoms, gaining weight. Couple were due to get married, but after the wedding day was delayed, they also decided after the wedding was delayed, oh, I guess because of COVID. Surgkov, "We always wanted our ducks in a row. We wanted to get married. We wanted to move out. We wanted to have the right jobs." Well, you know what they say about the best laid plans. The new mom said, "Yeah, it's amazing now, so I wouldn't change it for everything." It sounds like they're perfectly happy and that it's just happened. Unbelievable.
What about the baby kicking? What did she think that was?
Poutine?
Food fighting back?
I guess. Change in medication.
All right, give me another story. This upsets me for so many reasons. Not the least of which is the lack of intelligence.
Well, which is somebody needs to call the people at Pumpkin Mountain and say they
lost. Somebody
needs
to call Children's Aid Society and take that baby away. These people are too dumb to have children.
Well, okay, agreed. And moving on. Leeds. Oh, perfect. Oh, so you know me. I like a good cup of tea. And so this one obviously sparked my interest. And I'm sure
you know how I feel about tea. It's a drink for old British ladies.
Well, the guy, yeah, I don't know if you saw the article that I sent to you, but the guy, the scientist, looks like an old British lady. Professor says adding milk before water improves the flavor of tea. This one's far less controversial. Brace yourselves, because I've got some news for you that might make you spit out your tea. A professor is claiming that to make the most delicious brew, you might need to add the milk first. Professor Alan Mackey from the School of Food Science and Nutrition at Leeds University has said those living in hard water areas should add the milk before the boiling water to improve the taste. He explains, flavor by and large is, oh, he's British. Flavor by and large is produced by the different compounds in tea, including tannins in particular. The more minerals present in the water, the more difficult it is for these compounds to develop the flavor. That kind of went Australian there. Making the tea the traditional way, steeping a bag in hot water before removing it and adding milk, results in the tannins turning into solids before they can develop the flavor properly. But if the milk is added at the start of the steeping process, then its proteins can bind to the tannins and other minerals in the water, preventing them from turning solid, which in turn gives you a far superior flavor.
I want to get money to run stupid studies like this.
I mean, I'm gonna try it. Really, I gotta try it.
Are you really gonna notice the taste difference? It's probably microscopic.
Well, if anything, I've read this article, so now I'm primed to it. Even if it's a placebo effect, if my tea tastes better, I don't care how that happens.
So you're okay if you're only fooling yourself that it tastes any different than it did before.
It's something as innocuous as a cup of tea. I mean, I'm not making investment decisions here, but yeah, why not? Who cares? Whatever.
All right. I mean,
isn't
it's
that exciting?
Your tea.
It's a way to keep tea interesting.
How in this world, when there's so many diseases and malnutrition and lack of food, lack of arable land, lack of clean water, how is it somebody gets leave to a scientist to research how tea tastes better? People have been drinking tea for hundreds of years.
You know what? I think I can answer that question, if it's not rhetorical, which clearly it is. But here we are. With more than three decades at the forefront of his field, Professor Mackey has an unrivaled understanding of the complex interplay of compounds that goes into producing flavor. He has dedicated his life to make stuff taste better for people. If that's not a first world problem, or not even a problem, I don't
know
what
hero.
Is.
He's a hero. He should be in the next Avengers movie.
Food man. What would you call that?
Loser.
What's your superpower?
He's no loser. He gets paid to experiment with milk and tea.
That's a pretty sweet gig. What would his Avengers call sign be? I think just the flavor. That would be a cool Avenger, wouldn't it? The flavor. No.
How about cannon fodder?
How about dies in the sequel?
Yeah. And he wears a red shirt.
That's just his outfit is just a target painted on his back. <That's> right.
All right. What other stories do you have for us, Anthony?
Okay. Well, this is the third one, and thankfully, I'm sure for you, the last one. Man cooks chicken by slapping it 135,000 times in 8 hours. He really, really beat his meat. If you've ever contemplated the age-old question as to whether or not you can cook a chicken by slapping it a bunch of times, then never fear. Your query has finally been answered.
I've heard of choking the chicken, but this is slapping. Ridiculous. What did you do for the last number of hours? I was in my kitchen slapping my meat.
Well, he's got it's a contraption that he's made here. And I don't know, maybe we'll post a link to this in the description, but this
guy should pay his electric bill.
It seems like it's going to be pretty high because it's what he has is, he seems like he rigged up a hockey stick on some kind of a gear. And then on the end of it is this hilarious yellow glove. It's essentially a slapping machine. It's sort of on a pivot point. Looks pretty awesome. We should link this in the description because it's pretty crazy. Should we give credit to the author of these things or not?
I don't care.
Okay. Well, it's from Lad Bible. Shout out to Lad Bible.
Are you trying to visualize this as much as I am?
I am looking right at it.
Well, how does 135? First of all, you have to count to 135,000. You have to cook the chicken.
Do some quick math
before it goes bad. I mean, yeah. That's salmonella waiting to happen. How many hours did it take him?
So 8 hours, because the question that I think that
the
he was
chicken's going to go bad by then.
If kinetic energy is converted into thermal energy, how hard do I have to slap a chicken to cook it? This is what's going on. People
did
are stuck inside.
Eat this chicken?
I think he did I think he was the sort of guinea pig on it. It basically, oh, so it's a, don't go rushing off to your local supermarket to try this one just yet, because you're way better off eating a cooked chicken that's been cooked the good old fashioned way. Oh, really? We needed that. Okay.
Yeah, that's that little don't try this at home.
Don't try. Yeah. Yeah. It's indemnity. It basically tastes like you've been chewing it more than a minute already. Why said of the alternative method sounds.
Of course, because you've been beating the meat. Yeah, thank you, Beavis.
So that would have been one.
Why would somebody think this up? Like, really, I understand that machines were ideally supposed to give us more free time, but people apparently have way too much free time.
Hey, at least this guy's not out there spewing anti-Semitic hatred. You know what I mean? Like, okay, if he wants to waste his time, at least this is a fairly innocuous way of doing it. Who cares?
Like how the choices are between spewing anti-Semitic hatred or beating a chicken 135,000 times. I like how that's the dichotomy.
Well, I'm just saying, he's not out there spitting hatred, but he's not doing anything.
You don't know what he does after. Listen, a guy who spends 8 hours smacking a chicken 135,000 times, who knows what comes out of his brain next? He could very well be on some Aryan Nation's website because his brain's been addled.
He's either on his medication or off of it, I would say. It's one or the other.
Would you eat that chicken?
No. The other thing is that it took three times as much energy as it would have for just to cook it in an oven. It took 7,500 watt hours of energy. So not only is it stupid, it's inefficient and also wastes energy. So yeah, totally worth talking about. I just got taken by the headline.
I think it's important to know the world we live in.
Yeah.
And we inhabit this world with them. They walk the same planet as we do.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Anthony, for updating us on those essential news stories.
Sometimes everybody talking about COVID all the time, you got to kind of take a break once in a while.
That's right. We talk about beating chicken. All right. That's chicken is a funny word, too. It's inherently funny.
It's true.
Chicken.
He's got comedy
chicken in a joke. It's always funny. Chicken.
Chicken.
Chicken. It's just funny. All right. All right. He's Anthony Howell. I'm Ed the Sock. Find me on Twitter at Ed the Sock. Facebook, Ed the Sock. Don't forget to go to support my Indiegogo for New Music Nation, which is go to newmusicnation.ca. Click on the Indiegogo, and it'll take you to the world of rewards available to you. All right. That's it. This has been Ed the Sock Lives on Saga 960 AM.